bipartisan infrastructure bill, which will help us make even more critical investments here at the port and in our roads, bridges, tunnels, airports, waterways, in broadband, and on our cyber defense. This landmark bipartisan legislation will help us grow jobs, expand economic opportunity, and enhance security. I was proud to support this bipartisan infrastructure bill. Mr. President, I want to sincerely thank you for coming to our port, and thank you for your partnership on this important issue of rebuilding America's infrastructure. Thank you, and next I'm going to turn it over to the Baltimore City Mayor, Brandon Scott.
Good afternoon, everyone. I am excited to welcome President Biden back to Baltimore, or because, as he says, his family is from Baltimore, to welcome him home. The Port of Baltimore is special, not just because of its role in driving Baltimore's economy. It's special because of the women and men who operate this port, and that they reflect the grit and tenacity that personifies our great city. This city, Baltimore, has played a significant role in writing the story of America, and we will continue to write that story thanks to the ingenuity and determination of this port. Last April, I stood here with Secretary Pete Buttigieg as he reaffirmed this administration's commitment to Americans' ports and waterways. The Secretary called the bipartisan infrastructure plan a once-in-a-generation opportunity to transform our infrastructure. In the words of the President, he called it a BFD, a big deal. And Maryland's fearless delegation underscored, federal delegation, underscored the work that was needed to get this done and this plan's impact on rebuilding America and creating good-paying union jobs. That's what this is going to do. Thanks to the leadership of our federal delegation and President Biden, promises were made, and most importantly, promises were kept. The Biden administration is proving every day that government can deliver for its people. Our nation is healthier, safer, and more prosperous because of these efforts, but the president is continuing to deliver for people through his proposed Build Back Better agenda. In addition to the bipartisan infrastructure bill that was passed, this comprehensive agenda has the potential to lower barriers for low-income families by building an economy that truly works for all Americans. It is clear that we still have hard work to do and lots of loads to lift to make America the best version of itself, but our load is much lighter because we have a friend in Joe Biden that we can trust in the White House to do the work for all American people. Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you to our federal delegation for your continued leadership and for bringing the infrastructure bill home for Americans across the country, but also here in Baltimore City. And with that, I will turn it over to our wonderful, fabulous, returning Congressman, Congressman Kwaisi Mfume.
Hello, everyone. I'm just happy to join with the persons you previously heard from, both the mayor and the governor, and those that you will hear from in just a moment, in welcoming President Biden back to Baltimore for the second time in 4 weeks, and thanking him for his leadership, his vision, and his guidance on this piece of legislation, which, as you all know, we have struggled with in the House of Representatives since the first week in August. It has come to fruition. It is a done deal. And it is a great deal for the state of Maryland, the Port of Baltimore, and for millions of Americans all over the country. The sun is setting on the day, but it is rising on the ability of our nation to fix ourselves up again, to take care of bridges and roadways and highways and broadband. And it is rising again on the hope and the possibility that so many people will have an opportunity to be employed. We are not done. This is the first step, and it's a two-step process. And the next big issue for us is Build Back America, because in addition to the infrastructure bill, We want to find a way to reduce the cost of prescription medicine, to expand Medicare coverage for more people, to have home health care for the elderly, to make sure that child and early education issues are addressed, that we deal with climate change and move to save our planet, and that we provide care for older Americans with disabilities. So that's part two. But today we're celebrating part one, this great infrastructure bill. I want to thank the International Longshoremen, all the people who work here day in and day out when there are no cameras, when there is no publicity. We want to thank both the mayor and the governor for their vision, and we want to particularly, again, thank President Joe Biden for his insistence that we get this done and his leadership in helping us do that. It's my pleasure to bring forward now the Maryland senator, who we all know so well as Chris, but his actual name is Chris Van Hollen, and he's a leader in the Senate, and he's a good friend of all of us. Chris, please come to the stage.
Well, good afternoon, Baltimore. It's great to be here at the Port, and welcome President Biden back. And we want to welcome him back all the time. And we look forward, Mr. President, to your future visits as well. You know, Maryland is called American Miniature, so it's fitting that the President has come here today to celebrate the passage of the Infrastructure Modernization Bill and also call on the Congress and the country to support the other part of the Build Back Better agenda. To use a G-rated version of what Vice President Biden once said, this bill is a, quote, big darn deal. For years, the running joke in Washington, D.C. has been that this is infrastructure week, meaning everybody knew we had to do something to modernize and improve our infrastructure, but nobody actually did it until President Biden was sworn in and was able to work with this Senate and this House to get this over the finish line. And I am proud to have worked with Senator Cardin and with members of our Maryland House delegation to work with the President to get this done. If you look at this infrastructure bill, it's going to bring $7 billion over the next 5 years to the state of Maryland to help repair our roads, our bridges, our tunnels, and put thousands more Marylanders to work on the infrastructure of the 21st century, building out high-speed internet, broadband to households and small businesses, and work to make sure that we have a clean energy grid and build out battery storage stations and charging stations. And here in Baltimore, we're also going to undo the damage that was done decades ago when a highway to nowhere split West Baltimore, and instead of bringing communities together, tore them apart. And yes, this infrastructure bill will mean big additional investments right here in the Port of Baltimore, which, as you all know, is a great engine of jobs and opportunity. I want to thank all the men and women who work here. I want to thank the unions who deliver and bargain to make sure that we have good-paying jobs here in the Port of Baltimore. This bill will provide $17 billion nationally to ports around our country. And what that means is places like this port will now be able to compete for the money to build a third deep 50-foot berth to take the ultra-big tankers. We're working on the second. We want to get a third. So the bottom line is there's lots more work to do and a lot more Marylanders to hire in good-paying jobs right here. So when the President came to office, he had to do one thing right away: help defeat the pandemic and stabilize the economy. So he passed the American Rescue Plan. But he always said that getting back to the pre-pandemic status quo is not enough. We have to build back better. And this infrastructure modernization plan is a big part of that. The second will be one to empower every American, to help make sure we have a educated and trained workforce, to make sure we reduce the cost of everything from child care to prescription drugs, and provide tax cuts to middle-class families. But, Mr. President, I just want to say how proud the Maryland delegation has been to partner with you to get this over the finish line. Thank you, President Biden. you can see, we got a little bit out of order, but I want to welcome up a great colleague and partner, John Sarbanes.
Hey everybody, this is a great day. This is a day we've been waiting for a long time. A lot of presidents over a lot of years have talked about investing in America's infrastructure. President Biden was the one who got it done. And we're very proud in Congress to have been working with him on this major set of investments. One of my proudest moments was last Friday at 12:30 in the morning when I cast my vote in favor of this Invest in America Act. I want to thank the leadership here at the Port of Baltimore, really unrivaled when you look across the country in terms of its management of this amazing resource for Maryland and really for the region and for the country. I want to salute the workforce, the professionalism, the skills that this workforce brings every day to the job is something we can all be incredibly proud of, and certainly the Maryland delegation talks about it every chance we get. This infrastructure bill, as has been mentioned, is going to invest in roads, bridges, tunnels, ports like the Port of Baltimore, broadband, and other things that can lift us up, public transit, railroads. It is going to be transformational for the country. There's no question about that. And the person we have to thank for that is the person that we're welcoming here today, President Joseph Biden, for his leadership on this. So, President Biden, thank you for coming back to Baltimore, as was mentioned, the second time in the last few weeks. Thank you for shining a light on this port that we're all so incredibly proud of, and we look forward to working with the President to continue to make these life-changing investments for the American people. With that, let me introduce an incredible champion of the Port of Baltimore, Dutch Ruppersberg.
Okay, well, good afternoon, Baltimore. Good afternoon. Okay, and welcome to Maryland's 2nd District, home to the greatest port in America. 8 years ago, I welcomed then Vice President Joe Biden here to the Port of Baltimore as we announced a $10 million grant for the Fairfield Terminal. Today, it's no longer Vice President, just President. And $10 million seems like a paltry sum compared to the $225 billion headed to the Port of Baltimore and its counterparts around the country, thanks to the Bipartisan Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. And that doesn't include another $36 billion grants and funding for the Corps of Engineers that can compete for. I know the Port of Baltimore is eyeing that pot for our Mid-Bay Island dredging project. I've been representing the Port of Baltimore for nearly 20 years, and I always jump at the chance to brag about it. I'm so proud of what the port is achieving by investing in both technology and our union-backed workforce, as well as the private-public partnership that manages the port. The port is one of the largest job generators in the state of Maryland. Mr. President, your vision will make it even stronger. In Congress, I'm an appropriator, a steward of the taxpayers' money. It's a responsibility I take seriously. And as such, I'm always working to ensure we aren't just spending money, but we're investing in money. Clearly, rebuilding America's aging infrastructure is a safe investment. The return will be exponential. We're creating jobs, making our supply chains more resilient, and curbing inflation. I was proud to support the infrastructure deal in Congress without hesitation, and I look forward to supporting the rest of the Building Back Better agenda to keep Marylanders and our country moving forward. Thank you for being here. Now I have the pleasure of introducing, who's going to help me? Well, thank you for being here. And anybody know who? What? In all seriousness, this is great. She's hooking me off the stage now. Okay, thanks. Thank you for being here. We've got a lot looking forward to. Baltimore is great, and our port is great, and we're moving forward together. Thank you.
Please welcome Tony Revis Sr., Foreman, International Longshoremen Association, Local 333, and the President of the United States, Joseph R. Biden Jr.
My name is Tony Revis Sr. I've been a longshoreman at the Port of Baltimore since 1976 with the International Longshoremen's Association. My father is a retired longshoreman. I currently have two sons that are involved in active in the membership. One is a crane operator, one is a lasher and a container gang over here at Seagirt Marine Terminal. The waterfront has benefited my family and many other hardworking families for centuries. The current ILA leadership, the union employers, local government, and continued investments toward an infrastructure will ensure hardworking union members are enabled to continue to provide for their families and keep the hook moving. Let's keep the hook moving. Move forward. If you work on the waterfront, you know what keeping the hook moving means. So you'll understand greatly. The infrastructure investment will benefit the Port of Baltimore and future generations for many years to come. At this time, I would like to introduce our President of the United States, Joe Biden.
Thank you. We have an expression, we used to have an expression when I served in the Senate, Senator Van Hollen. It's when they want to make some statement that was personal, they say, a point of personal privilege. You know, when you're talking about being a waterman, working on the water, my family's originally from Baltimore. Came in the early 1800s, and the entire Biden family worked in the water, were watermen until probably 1906, 7 or 8. And my father was raised here in Baltimore. They don't say Baltimore, they say Baltimore. Although they never worked at the port, they did work in the bay and along here. This is one of the oldest ports in the country, continuously running, and one of the best ports in the country. And so, Tony, thanks for that introduction. And Mayor Scott, thanks for the passport into the city. Appreciate it very much. And I want to thank Governor Hogan for being here and members of the delegation. I want to start off with one of my best buddies and I think one of the most effective people in the United States Senate, Chris Van Hollen. Don't if you need something, go to him, man. He knows how to get it done. And also Dutch Ruppersberger and the guy who I knew him when he was a kid. He doesn't remember me. I'm getting so old. Knew his dad, Senator Sarbanes. And Congressman Sarbanes, Congressman Brown, and all this delegation. You got a first-rate delegation. And so I want to thank him for being here today and thank him for all the help in getting the members of the House and getting the legislation passed. It's a big deal. It's going to make a big difference. The reason I started calling this Build Back Better is we're the only country in the world. We underestimate ourselves. We're sort of down on ourselves the last 10 years or so. We're the only country in the world, as a matter of history, that every crisis we faced, we've come out better on the other side. We not only beat it, not a joke, think about it. We've come out better than we were before we went into the crisis. And the economic and political, as well as health crisis we found with COVID, I was determined when we got elected, we got to build it back better than it was. The world's changing so rapidly, man. We got to keep up. We're in competition to determine whether or not we can still remain the most powerful economic force in the world. And today I'm here to talk about one of the most pressing economic concerns of the American people, and it's real. and that is getting prices down, number one. Number two, making sure our stores are fully stocked. And number three, getting a lot of people back to work while tracking and tackling these two above challenges I mentioned. Today's economic report is showing unemployment continued to fall, but consumer prices remain too high. Tell us, the American people, in the midst of this economic crisis, the recovery is showing strong results, but not to them. They're still looking out there. Everything from a gallon of gas to a loaf of bread costs more, and it's worrisome, even though wages are going up. We still face challenges. We have to tackle them. We have to tackle them head on. And on the good side, we're seeing the highest growth rate in decades, the fastest decrease in unemployment at this point ever since 1950. Jobs are up, wages are up, values are up, and savings are up. But we got problems, too. Many people remain unsettled about the economy, and we all know why. They see higher prices. They go to the store online, and they can't, or they go to the store or go online, and they can't find what they always want and when they want it. And we're tracking these issues and trying to figure out how to tackle them head on. My administration, with the help of the folks on my left over here, has a plan to finish the job of getting us back to normal from the pandemic and having a stronger economy than we've ever had before. Let me explain the part that the ports play, why they're so critically important. It starts with a piece of good news. Infrastructure week has finally arrived. How many times you hear over the last 5 years, Infrastructure Week is coming? Yeah, huh? Anyway, last week, we took a monumental step forward as a nation. And we did something long overdue and long talked about in Washington, but almost never actually done. The House of Representatives passed my bipartisan infrastructure bill. Along with another plans that I'm advancing, this bill is going to reduce the cost of goods, consumers, businesses, and get people back to work, helping us build an economy from the bottom up and the middle out, that where everybody's better off. You know, I'm tired of this trickle-down economy stuff. I come from Delaware, just across the line up here, and, you know, we have more corporations in Delaware than every other nation in the state combined. And so I understand big business. The fact of the matter is, it's time they start paying their fair share. Fact is, you have 55 corporations last year that, in fact, made $40 billion, didn't pay a single penny in taxes. Nobody's gonna pay, or if you make less than $400,000, you're not gonna pay anything more in taxes at all. Period. Guaranteed, including gasoline tax. Not gonna be additional from a federal government standpoint. And so, look, this is a once-in-a-generation investment to create good-paying jobs. Modernize infrastructure, turn the climate crisis into an opportunity. When I talk climate to other world leaders, I say, just think one thing. When you're dealing with climate, think jobs, good jobs, because that's how you beat the climate crisis. Put us on a path to win the economic competition of the 21st century. We face with China and the rest of the world. China's outspending us on research and development. China is outspending these other countries are as well. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to create good-paying union jobs, union, not good job, not $12 an hour, not $15 an hour, $45 an hour and up with good benefits so you can raise a family on and build the middle class out. And jobs that cannot be outsourced. You can't outsource these jobs. And I'm going to transform our transportation system with the most significant investment in passenger rail in the past 50 years. Roads and bridges, the most significant investment in 70 years. And investments in public transit that we've done over the period. And it's going to modernize our ports with $17 billion in investment. $17 billion in investment. We're going to reduce congestion. We're going to address repair and maintenance backlogs, deploy state-of-the-art technologies, and make our ports cleaner and more efficient. And we're going to do the same with our airports and freight rail. We're going to create jobs replacing lead water pipes that are here in Maryland as well as every other state in the union that are poisoning our kids and others. We're going to make high-speed internet affordable and available to everywhere in America. Those of you who have kids in school, when we've been going this hybrid thing, some in class, some out of class, how many times if you don't live in an area where you have high-speed internet you can afford, how many times you've driven your kids to the parking lot of McDonald's and sat there going off McDonald's internet so you could hear No, I'm not joking. Think of this. United States of America, for God's sake. So, folks, we're going to build the first ever national network of electric vehicle charging stations all across the country. IBEW is going to put in 500,000 charging stations across the country. And guess what? That's in the Recovery Act. That's in the Build Back Better bill, which is not going to raise taxes one single cent. It's totally paid for. Totally paid for by making taxes work for people who make over 400 grand and just do their fair share. I'm a capitalist, man. You should be able to be a millionaire or billionaire if you can, but pay your fair share. Pay something along the line. I'm going to get America off the sidelines on manufacturing. The manufacturing of solar panels, wind turbines, batteries to store energy and power the electric vehicles, from school buses to automobiles. We're also going to make historic investments in environmental cleanup and remediation, rebuilding resilience against superstorms and droughts and wildfires and hurricanes. I traveled all over the country this year. You know, there's $99 billion in losses because of storms this year. $99 billion. You ever think you'd hear somebody stand up and say the Colorado River is being drained? You ever think you'd see you go out more wildfires in the West than the entire land lost, homes lost, to burn to the ground? I've flown over in Marine One, than the entire state of New Jersey, from the Cape all the way to New York. That's how much we've lost in America. So far. According to economic experts, this bill is going to ease inflationary pressures, lowering the cost of working families. 17 Nobel laureates in economics wrote a letter to me about 10 days ago saying this is going to bring inflation down, not up. But best of all, the vast majority of these jobs that we're going to create don't require a college degree. Don't require. This is the ultimate blue-collar blueprint to rebuild America. I'm not waiting to sign a bill to start improving the flow of goods from ships to shelves. Yesterday, I announced a port plan of action. It lays out concrete steps for my administration to take over the next 3 months to invest in our ports and to relieve bottlenecks. This builds on the progress we've already made. Last month, I reached a deal with two of the largest ports in America, the Port of Los Angeles and Long Beach, and I met with you guys, with the longshoremen there, and we worked out a deal between the port owners and the longshoremen to move toward operating those two ports. Okay, 40% of everything in the Pacific comes through those two ports, and they're lined up, ships are lined up, 70-some lined up out as far as you can see. So they all agreed, they're going to go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's already paying off. Last week, the number of container ships in the docks for more than 9 days fell by over 20%. And now we're announcing steps to improve ports in the East Coast, to provide support for the Port of Savannah, the fourth largest container port in the country, to help reduce congestion. With our help, they now have the funds they need to set up 5 new inland port sites in Georgia and North Carolina so goods can get closer to their final destination more quickly. And other ports across the country will have the resources they need to make these kinds of immediate investments as well. The challenge we need to meet here, and that my plan is going to help address, has to do with the supply chain. You hear a lot about the supply chains in the news, but frankly, not a lot of people have a clear understanding, whether they have a PhD or they didn't go to school, about how a supply chain works. It says easy to talk about it, but what's the impact on the economy? Let alone how to fix it. It's perfectly understandable because supply chains are incredibly complex. As long as goods and materials are getting where they need to go on time, there's usually no need to worry about the supply chains. But when global disruptions hit, like a pandemic, they can hit supply chains particularly hard. COVID-19 has stretched global supply chains like never before, and suddenly, when you go to order a pair of sneakers or a bicycle or a Christmas presents for the family, you're met with higher prices and long delays, or they say they just don't have any at all. The reason for that last year has a lot to do with most companies make their product, how they make their products today. In simple terms, supply chain is just the journey that a product takes to get to your doorstep. Raw materials, plus labor, assembly, shipping, everything it takes to create the finished product. These supply chains are complex. Even products as simple as a pencil can have to use the wood from Brazil, graphite from India, before it comes together at a factory in the United States to get a pencil. Sounds silly, but that's literally how it happens. So if all of a sudden you got COVID crisis in Brazil, you can't get the product maybe because the plant shuts down. That's what's happening. Products like smartphones often bring together parts from France, Italy, chips from the Netherlands, touch screens from New York State, camera components from Japan, supply chain that crosses dozens of countries. That's just the nature of a modern economy, the world economy. But global supply chains have helped dramatically bring down price we pay for things we buy. But they also made us much more reliant on what happens in other parts of the world. So if a factory in Malaysia shuts down due to a COVID outbreak, which they have, it causes a ripple effect that can slow down auto manufacturing in Detroit. Why? It can't get the computer chips they need. It's a climate disaster to close the port in China. It can delay shipment of furniture or clothing, reduce worldwide supply, and driving up prices here in America. And the irony is people have more money now because of the first delayed major piece of legislation I passed. You all got checks for $1,400. You got checks for a whole range of things. If you're a mom and you have kids under the age of 7, you get $300 a month. And if it's over 7 to 17, you're getting $360 a month, like wealthy people used to do when they get back tax returns. It changed people's lives. But what happens if there's nothing to buy, you got more money, you compete for getting it there, it creates a real problem. So on the one hand, we're facing new disruptions to our supplies. At the same time, we're also experiencing higher demand for goods because wages are up, as well as people have money in the bank. Because of the strength of our economic recovery, American families have been able to buy more products. But guess what? They're not going out to dinner and lunch and going to local bars because of COVID. So what are they doing? They're staying home, they're ordering online, and they're buying product. Well, with more people with money buying product and less product to buy, what happens? The supply chain's the reason. The answer is you guys. I'll get to that in a minute. But what happens? Prices go up. So we got nearly 20% more goods coming into the country than we did before the pandemic struck. COVID-19 has changed the way we spend our time and our money. More products are being delivered than ever before. That's because people have a little more breathing room than they did last year. And that's a good thing. But it also means we got higher demand for goods at the same time we're facing disruptions in the supplies to make those goods. This is a recipe for delays and for higher prices. And people are feeling it. They're feeling it. Do you ever think you're paying this much for a gallon of gas? In some parts of California, they're paying $4.50 a gallon. That's why it's so important that we do everything in our power to stabilize the supply chain. And here's the good news. Yesterday, I spoke with the CEOs personally, of the major retailers, Walmart, Target, and the leading freight movers, FedEx and UPS. They assured me that the shelves will be stocked in stores this holiday because they signed on a 24/7 as well. They signed on 24/7. And they provide more avenues. They're getting more of their containers off the ports quicker than ever before. A lot of stuff on the ports that was sitting around, staying there. Why? Because it no longer is the product they need at this moment. And it doesn't cost them anything to leave them sitting at the port rather than their warehouses. That's moving as well. Part of the reason why is because my port envoy, John Picari, who was a Secretary of Transportation here for two governors, John has worked with the operators, the shippers, shipping companies and unions, and retailers to speed commerce so they can get products to stores and to your doors and to get the shelves fully stocked this holiday season. Instead of pointing fingers, we're seeing folks start to work together. Railroads, ocean liners, labor, state and local governments, progress has already begun, and now we passed the bipartisan infrastructure bill, the deal. It's only going to accelerate. You've heard me say it before. Infrastructure used to be rated in the United States as the best in the world when I got to the Congress. But today, according to the World Economic Forum, you know where we rank in infrastructure? 13th in the world. 12 countries in the world have more modern, efficient infrastructures than the United States of America. By investing in our roads, our bridges, our ports, and so much else, this bill is going to make it easy for companies to get goods to market more quickly. Here in Baltimore, you've got a port that's older than America itself, and it's been operating for 315 years. By the way, got any Marines or any former Marines? Raise your hand. Well, if you're here as a Marine, happy birthday. It's your 247th birthday of the United States Marine Corps. They deserve some applause. Look, this port is connected to the nation's oldest rail line, the B&O Railroad, which in turn relies on the tunnels that are about 126 years old, those tunnels, okay? The tunnel has become a major bottleneck to the port. Now, the Port of Baltimore will be getting a $125 million grant to upgrade that tunnel, so freight trains can come double-stacked through that tunnel, double-stacked with these cars, containers on top. Twice as much. They move out a hell of a lot more quickly, but if they're imports, going out, but if they're exports, going across the ocean. That means, in addition to more good jobs being filled, more products on shelves, delivery faster and lower prices, it's about taking a long-term view of our economy to deliver lower costs, more jobs, and ensure our shelves are stocked with product. The longer-term view means building greater resilience to withstand both the shocks and disruptions that we can anticipate as the world continues to change. Pandemics, weather extremes, cyber attacks, whatever else comes our way, and they're all going to come our way. You know it. We need to be ready. We need companies throughout the supply chain to create and support good-paying jobs for people that they can grow in, build skills in, join a union, make a decent living. That's when disruption hits. So when disruption hits, companies can quickly adapt because they're invested in their workers, their skills, their training, and a strong foundation of what I always think unions and my family, I think of dignity and respect. That's what it's about, dignity and respect. Taking a longer-term view also means making Buy American, not just a promise, but an ironclad reality. When I got elected, I said, I get to spend, quote-unquote, $600 billion of your money, making everything from aircraft carriers to balloons. But guess what? So much of it has been going out and getting foreign contractors to do it. Well, this administration has been doing, we set a new rules to strengthen our domestic supply chains with new Made in America office within the White House. Never again should our country be left unable to produce critical goods because we don't have access to the materials we need. Never again should we have to rely on one company or one country, particularly when a country doesn't share our values. I've said it before, we're in a competition for the 21st century. Who's going to own it? America still has the most productive workers in the world and the most innovative minds in the world. That's not hyperbole, that's a fact. But other countries are closing in. We risk losing our edge if we don't step up now. This bipartisan infrastructure bill is a major step forward. It represents the biggest investment in ports in American history. And for American families, it means products moving faster and less expensively from factory floor through the supply chain to your home. The bottom line is this. With the bill we passed last week and the steps we're taking to reduce bottlenecks at home and abroad, we're set to make significant progress. We're already in the midst of historic economic recovery. And thanks to those steps we're taking, very soon we're going to see the supply chain start catching up with demand. So, not only will we see more record-breaking job growth, we'll see lower prices, faster deliveries as well. This work is going to be critical as we implement the infrastructure bill, as we continue to build the economy from the bottom up and the middle out by passing the Build Back Better plan. We need to unlock the full might and dynamism of our economy, guys, and of our people. I really mean it. That with this plan, we've set in motion that's what's exactly we're going to do. We're going to build a better America, not a joke. We're going to lead the world again, not a joke. We're going to be in a position where we once again own the 21st century. Because when we own it, everybody does better. Everybody, not only America, but around the world. It's already takes so long, the sun's down. You don't have any sweater on, you're going to freeze. I'm going to stop talking. A man with as little hair as mine just took his hat off. I put it back on. You're going to get cold if I don't get stepped down. But look, all kidding aside, I want to particularly thank the longshoremen. You guys, as an old expression of Claymont, Delaware, I was from, you all brought me to the dance, man. You stuck with me from the first time I ran. And you've stepped up every time you've been asked. Every time you've been asked. And I want to personally thank you while I'm standing in front of you. God bless you all, and God bless all the workers to keep our economy going. And may God protect our troops. Thank you so very much. Thank you.